Dare to proclaim that God is too gracious for you? That God is so gracious that he risks his love in claiming a child that cannot accept him, cannot decide for him? He embraces that child with his power and his spirit in the confidence that someplace along the life's journey that child will come to know what great thing has happened and that child will want to be his, called and chosen. So what would you rather stand on as a foundation for your Christian life? A decision you made or one that God has made for you? Because if you stand on your own decision, then I would challenge you and say, were you really serious about that decision? Because it would appear to me from the way your life has gone since you made that decision that you weren't very serious. And I'm not talking about the things you can, the way you fool your neighbors and each other by showing us the best side of you. You know what I'm talking about. That part of your life that you wouldn't dare show anybody, but is clear enough evidence that you don't take your decision for Christ very seriously. Is that the basis of your Christian life? Or is it that even though you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you? And that in baptism, he takes you up in his arms and he says, you are mine. And I'm going to be with you and work with you throughout your life's journey. And no matter how far you run, you're going to have a real hard time outrunning me. That is the kind of confident trust and understanding of the gospel that we as Lutherans dare to live and proclaim. And we believe this is totally consistent with our understanding of Scripture. And let me close this morning, because I know we're getting up there in time. Galatians chapter 5 again. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And you can decide in your own life what the yoke is. There's all kinds of forms of it. But mainly, it's that yoke of slavery by which we try to establish our own spiritual life, our own Christian validation. We try to make ourselves acceptable, moral, good, ethical. And then Paul talks about circumcision as an example of that human act that the people were performing in order to prove that they were righteous and spiritual. He says, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. If you're going to see your Christian life as a project by which now you must fulfill your own humanity, each day, keeping the law perfectly. That means fulfilling your human destiny, to love God, neighbor, as self. If you're going to take that upon you as your project, and Paul says, you better be ready to keep every law perfectly, because that's the demand that's placed on you. If that's the way you're going to go, that's the road you're going to have to walk. And if this happened, he says, listen to this, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen away from his grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything, but faith working or faith active through love. What does that mean? It means that in Christ now, our religious projects, one way or the other, don't mean anything. Forget it. What matters is the Spirit has laid up for us in heaven the promise of our fulfillment, right, in righteousness. It's like a safety deposit box. It's up there with you, and you got the key, and when you get there, you open it, and bang, you got the whole thing. It's waiting for you. It's done. So now what matters, Paul says? What matters now then? If I'm not supposed to be on some kind of a religious project here, to improve myself, then what's it all about? And he says very simply, faith working or active in love. Your faith is to lead you into the freedom that enables you to love as Jesus loved. I mean, look at his life. Look at his life. Did Jesus spend his life cultivating his spirituality? No. He went to the temple. He went to church. He needed to hear the word. He needed to hear the Torah. He needed to hear the covenant promises. He prayed, just like we do. He read his Bible, his Old Testament. He studied his word. He went to the place where the word was, as we do. And then with his creatureliness and his humanness with regard to his daily calling as a rabbi and a teacher, what did he do? He gave himself. He sought out the welfare of others in his ministry. It doesn't sound very sexy, does it? I mean, you know, you may not have Holy Spirits come pouring into the roof, and you may not see visions, and you may not, you know, be able to do backflips, and because you're full of the Holy Ghost, and you may not, win the lotto, and you may not wind up in Newport Coast in a big mansion. You may not, all kinds of things may not happen to you if you follow Jesus Christ, but one thing that will happen to you is you will become a person, a real human being, and you'll feel at home in your skin, and you'll know the assurance, as the old hymn says, the blessed assurance of knowing that God is your friend and that he loves you. Yep.